And welcome to the End Time Bible Prophecy podcast and channel. I'm your host, Gerald, the End Time Shofar. We'll be doing an in-depth Bible study called Debunking the Healing Angel at the Pool of Bethesda, the Healing Ministry of Yeshua or Jesus. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. I've traditionally heard coming up in church when we're dealing with John chapter 5, which we'll get into a little bit more and do an in-depth study. Coming up as a youngster, preachers would preach, well, you know, the man was by the pool of Bethesda and he was crippled, but he couldn't put himself in the water when the water was stirred up by the angels to get healed, and Jesus had to come along and some other things and all. But we're going to debunk some things that you might have traditionally heard taught over the pulpit in most Christian churches, which they fail to look at the perspective of the Jewishness of Jesus or Yeshua and the background of the scriptures. The cultural context of what was going on, what John is truly writing and presenting to his audience. So we have to make sure that we are very biblically literate, in especially in these last days. And God has given an increase in knowledge, not to just people that are out there creating things that are wicked, but also within the church. It's an explosion of knowledge if you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. So the main goal doing this Bible study is to kind of break tradition and try to become a little bit more biblically literate and true to the context of Scripture. Let's read John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which was called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay the great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, and whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in the condition a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in to the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. All right. So I'm going to connect John 5 to John chapter 9, because here's another miracle of Jesus. It says, now Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should reveal in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay and saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which translated sin. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. And therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So went and washed, and I received sight. And then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. So we see the correlation. I brought in John 9 to kind of compare and contrast John chapter 5. We see John chapter 5, this man is laying by the pool of Bethesda with this infirmity for 38 years, and he's waiting to go in the water for this angel to stir up the water. The translation of that, the translator who translated John misses a few things, and we'll get into that, because nowhere you find in scripture in the Old Testament that you find Naaman is healed by the words of the prophet Elisha. He tells Gehazi to go tell Naaman to go dip in the dirty Jordan River 7 times and he'd be healed. You don't see any portion of scriptures where an angel comes down into the Jordan River or any other portion of water and stare it up to heal people. We're going to look at the more, you can't find any Jewish sources that state angels staring up water healing. It's more of pagan sources and pagan background behind this, which we'll dive a little bit more. You can see that also too, where more than likely, which we'll get into, that the Pool of Bethesda was more or less a pagan temple where these people were waiting to get healed, versus Siloam, which is in Jerusalem, which Jesus tells the man to wash his eyes. He doesn't tell the man that's by the Pool of Bethesda to go dip in a pool and to be healed. He told him to get up and be made well, and the man was instantly healed. He tells the blind man, he spits in the ground, saliva, he makes clay, he rubs it in the man's eyes, and then he goes and tells him to wash his eyes in the Pool of Siloam, because the Pool of Siloam was under Jewish jurisdiction. It wasn't under pagans, which would take, again, a little bit more look at it. So let's dive in. So more than likely, or likely a lot of scholars have concluded, especially a lot of Hebrew or Jewish scholars had come to determine that the Pool of Bethesda was under the Greco-Roman religion, who celebrated the Greco-Roman god Asclepius. Asclepius was a figure of Greek mythology who wielded a rod with a serpent around it. He was the god of medicine, and he was the father of, his father was Apollo, and his mother was the princess named Coronis. Asclepius was born, when he was born, his mother died at childbirth, and Asclepius had to be born by cesarean section. So we see that some of his healing powers come through the serpent. We know what the serpent really represents when you go back to Genesis chapter 3. It talks about the serpent. The serpent around the world is looked upon as a symbol of wisdom, but also healing, also too played a factor. So Cephalus was worshipped as the god of medicine, or a god that can heal. So in reference to looking at the Pool of Bethesda, we see the connection behind that. Now, we have to look, when we're looking at the Gospels and we're looking at certain geographic locations, you have to understand the languages, the people during the time, the time frame. When we look at when Jesus is with his disciples and he proclaims up on this mount, I built my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some people within the Catholic Church try to say, well, you know, Peter was the first pope. It's talking about Peter being that rock of the church, because he's talking to Peter, and Peter was a rock, and they start to talk other things. People try to hoop and holler, and it was saying Jesus is the rock of ages. He's the rock. But when Jesus is talking about that, Jesus is strategically, that place that he's talking about was the area where the god Pan was worshipped. And it was at the point of the mount where pagans believed that the underworld was centered at, and just so many other things. So, and the god Pan was worshipped, being the god of the underworld. So Jesus is declaring war upon the principalities and the spirits within that territory when he makes that statement. Even when we see when Jesus is headed over to the land of Gadarenes and he runs into legions and he casts the demons out, and the demons were like, okay, we're going to leave them, but we want to go occupy something. So he sends them into the pigs that were being herded. Now, the reason why they were pigs, number one, you should ask the question, pigs, when you look at Leviticus chapter 11, were considered unclean animals. So it was unkosher for Jews to eat. However, being under Greco-Roman rule that was taking place, pigs were sacred and were offered as sacrifices to Zeus, which the temple of Zeus wasn't too far in that area. So when it caused some economic issues, when the loss of those pigs, when those demons possessed those pigs and they ran, the herd of them ran and jumped in the water, ended up dying, that was economic loss of those pigs being purchased and offered sacrifices to Zeus. So we see Cephalus is more or less where the scribe or the person translating John chapter 5 inserts an angel, where it's not really an angel, it's a false god, a god with a little g. There are many reasons to believe that the structure situated and walking distance from back of the walls of the city of Jerusalem was a healing center dedicated to the Greco-Roman god, well-being of health, which is Cephalus. Devotional to Cephalus was well spread through the lands and dominated Roman Empire. There were more than 400 Asclepians, Cephalus-related facilities throughout the empire, functioning as healing centers and dispensers of the god's grace and mercy towards those in need. So when we look at the Pool of Bethesda, we see that this was the one may functional or devotionals to Acephalus during the Greco-Roman, or the Roman Empire during this time that was taking place. So when we look at John chapter 5, we see that it was a large amount of people waiting to get in these waters when the water was stirred up for healing. So they were looking healing through pagan sources. So here's Jesus, the Messiah, the Mashiach. He comes not only to heal this man, but give this man eternal life also too. Not just healing for this life, but healing, but also to eternal life. He's the light of the world. So instantly he heals the man. He doesn't tell him to wash himself or go into the water that's stirred up. Jesus speaks to him and he's instantly healed, and it brings glory to God the Father. Acephalus was the god of medicine and health in ancient Greek religion. The god's mythical daughters, for example, included the goddess Hygieia and Panacea. We can hear in their Greek names are modern terms for hygiene and Panacea, key concepts associated today with medicine and health. The snakes were key attribute Acephalus' cult for health and healing. Even today, one of the key symbols in modern medicine is the stick with the snake around it. So you know, we kind of see the correlation when we look at medicine and all, the serpent wrapped around the rod. The temple of Acephalus became a type of early hospital where the sick came in hopes of being cured. The Asclepiadae were priests at the temple who inherited healing secrets. Their job was to stir up magic and herbs. So we see when we're looking at John chapter 5, we see two kingdoms diametrically opposed to each other. We see the kingdom of darkness. We see that this man who has an infirmity laying by this pool for 38 years, believing a lie, waiting for the waters to be stirred up by this demonic being, this false god. Here's Jesus, Yeshua, God manifested in the flesh, comes along and tells him, like, what are you doing? He ends up healing the man. So we see the power of God. Greater he that's in us than he that is in the world. Quoting 1 John chapter 4, verses 4. So let's move on. So the temple of Acephalus, they had these priests within the temple who had these healing secrets. So the main thing, their main job was the use of magic and herbs to stir up the waters. So now we're seeing in context, traditionally, people who not at the fault, because God is opening up more insight, more knowledge, more sources, and more other things that we can gravitate to and study, that we're not stuck in tradition. We're not hooping and hollering and saying, oh, the man, he didn't have faith. You know, he didn't have enough faith to get in the waters, and when it was stirred up by the angel, and then Jesus had to come along and help him. No, Jesus was changing this paradigm of his thinking. It's like, what are you doing, man? You've been laying here for 38 years. You've been laying here believing a lie for 38 years, believing that this pagan God can heal you. I am the Mashiach. I'm the Messiah, or I am your Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. I come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. And he heals the man. All right. So we move on. here's some of this false teaching, the false doctrine comes about, believing that there's healing angels. And I'm using several examples. And again, maybe a level of ignorance and not really knowing the Jewish aspect of the scriptures and behind what's behind the writing of John. When John's writing to his audience, John is writing to both his Jewish audience, but both his pagan audience can see, okay, here's the Cephalus. He's the god of the Bethesda waters there and that pagan temple. Here's Jesus, which is the Son of Man, the Son of God, the anointed one, the Messiah, that's able to heal. But when we look at a quote from Pastor Joel Osteen's book, The Power of I Am, page 22, he writes, imagine that your answer is on the way. God has already dispatched the angel with your healing. Okay. Nowhere that we study scripture that God is dispatching angels in your healing, which we'll get to. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of healings. It's not healing through angel. Healing comes through the power of God, comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. Here's a quote from T.D. Jakes on healing angels. It's from Bishop T.D. Jakes' book, God Longs to Heal You, page 164. There are some people who have not been released from old trials yet because they will not allow God to heal them through the angels of ministry he has chosen to use. So there's no such thing as we're debunking healing angels. You didn't see Jesus telling his disciples, you need to pray to dispatch healing angels when you go out and you're healing people and all, which will look at the scriptures from a scriptural context. This is a heretical teaching that takes place. No, we're debunking the healing angel of Bethesda, but context of the word of God, you never see that really in scriptures, are invoking angels and other things, are dispatching angels and all. Angels are dispatched by God in the will of God. It's not for mankind to act like angels are their personal delivery boys anytime they beckoning and call. They're on the beckoning and call of God and the will to do the will of God, not man's will, but God's will. All right, so when we look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 2, this is ascending out of the 12. It says, and then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So here's Yeshua, Jesus. He gave them authority and power over all demons and to cure diseases and to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You don't see nowhere where the disciples are going out and they're telling people, you need to go to the Jordan River. You need to go to this pool. You need to go here because a healing angel is going to step in the waters. They're going to stir it up. No, he gave power and authority to his disciples to cast out devils and to cure or to heal the sick, to pronounce the kingdom of God. When we look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll drop down to verse 9. This is the sending of the 70 that he appointed. So it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest. And he sent out the laborers into the harvest. Verse 9, he says, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So here again, you see Jesus commissioning his 12 disciples to go out, proclaim the kingdom, have authority, and to cast out demons or devils, and to cure the sick or heal the sick. Here you see he commissions, he appoints the 70 to go out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Nowhere you see that they're invoking angels or they're telling people to go to this pool or go to this river for angelic beings to stir up healing. No, the healing comes through the power of God. It comes through the Holy Spirit, the power and authority that is delegated or given through the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers the individual. So when somebody that's operating in the gift of healings, it's not them themselves, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that they're yielding themselves as a chosen vessel to be used by God, the power of God, to heal people that have all manner of sickness and diseases by the will of God. I want to conclude with the scripture. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. It says, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, healing comes, divine healing comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, of the gifts, somebody operating in the gifts of healings is through the Holy Spirit. Nowhere, again, which we examine, that you see in the scriptures, that's like me saying, okay, you need to go to fill your water, your bathtub up with water, your jacuzzi up in water, and the angel's going to come into the water and stir it up, and you're going to be healed. It's contradiction of the scriptures. I want to look at also, too, because there is a Ernie Church wrote about this, and he wrote about Acephalus and his healing. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna find that reading because we have to really be able to really rightly divide the word of God, and knowing that we are living in the last days, but also too, we have to be open. We have to be open to truth, to the scriptures. And when we realize that our traditions are off, things that we traditionally preach or teach, and then when we're exposed to truth, we have to have the boldness to say, hey, you know what? I was wrong on what I was teaching. I was wrong on what I was doing. This was the writing about Acephalus by Justin Martyr, early Christian writings. It says, when the devil brings forth Acephalus as a riser of the dead and a healer of all diseases, may I not say that this manner is also imitated in the prophecies about Christ? So here we have Justin Martyr. He's writing about this and said Acephalus was an imitator of Jesus Christ. So we have to be in tune of the word. We have to continue, always be a lifetime student of the word. And we have to make sure that we rightfully divide the word of God. We have to really look more in depth to make sure that we pursue truth. So debunking healing angels in the Pool of Bethesda. And I'm trying to find the source and verse. Here's another writing. I'm going to give it to you. But the early Christian writings, they really exposed. Justin Martyr talked about that. And it was the first apologies of Justin Martyr. First apologies. And I believe it's First Apology 69. I'm going to give you the actual source behind that for Justin Martyr's writing. Just about there. Believe it's Apology 69 or Chapter 69. But we have debunked what we traditionally believe it is 69 now. Very much so, it is just the martyr's first apologies that we find this. So we have to really make sure when you follow this study, we have scripture references. We really try to dive in to the word, and we give it several sources. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one that leads and guides us into all truth. And we have to be just students of the word. It's still bothering me. I want to get you, and I am going to get you that source before I go, before I leave you. Just bear with me. I believe it is a Justin Motters, Apologies. Let's see. We're going to find. I'm determined to find. But ultimately, Jesus did show that he had more power than the Cephalus. We established that. Let's see. Yeah, it is just a moderate. I found it. It's not his apologies. It's dialogue with Triopol, the Jew, 69. And it brings, the devil brings forward Acephalus as the riser of the dead and the healer of all diseases. May I not say that in this manner, likewise, he's imitated the prophecies about Christ. Justin Motter is the author of that early writings dialogue with the Triopol, the Jew. Also, one other thing, one of the Jewish sage, Rabbi Akiva, we read, once Akiva was asked to explain why persons afflicted with diseases sometimes return cured from pilgrimages to a shrine, he said, of the idol through surely the powerless. This is found in the Babylonian Talmud, Avodah Zarah 55a. So we look at rabbinical sources and we look at the writings of Justin Martyr that talks about this, that these false gods can do healing also too, but it's not like God's healing is much greater and has much more impact, and not just healing of the natural body, but able to bring eternal life. So I found that source. Thank you for bearing with me. I was determined to get that last source. I thought I incorporated in my notes, but I was able to bring that out. I will put that in the description. So you can reference that for Justin Martyr and some of the things that I mentioned. God bless. Hopefully you got something from this lesson, this Bible study up on this evening. Pray for me as I pray for you. This is Gerald, the End Time Shofar, signing out. God bless.